So I said first John chapter 14. Amen. So we want to continue looking at the name of Jesus, and through the testimony of God's word, we are seeing more and more likely than we have ever seen before about what God meant by the name. Because on the surface it looks simple. On the surface, if you ask somebody, do you know what name of Jesus means, they give you a ready answer. And the more we peruse God's word, the more we find out that there are things hidden inside the scriptures, that by the power of God's spirit, revelation of those things makes a difference in our experience and our enjoyment of the inheritance that belongs to us. So the name of Jesus produces different experiences on the lips of different individuals, not because the name varies, but because our understanding of that name varies. So the way an individual will call it may not necessarily be the way you will call it, because you are meant to call it and get results based on the understanding behind what you are calling out for. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's not the only one behind Jesus. But we know when we say the name of Jesus, it means we must know what we are referring to in our hearts. Therefore, the trigger that activates the operations of the name is that of revelation. That the more understanding that we have of that name through the light of scriptures, and you understand that the scriptures are the bedrock of our faith. If the scriptures are the bedrock of our faith, whatever light we glean from scriptures, we just established a legal basis for the operations that we're expecting. It means that whatever we are believing for, once we have scriptures, we know that we're on a rock solid foundation when it comes to having experiences in God. All right, John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John chapter 14, verse chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18, Chronicles of the Last Days of Jesus. So he said some very important things in those chapters that I pointer to what will happen after the cross. Verse 2 says, in my Father's house. In my Father's house. King James uses the word house, uses the word mansion. So you are not meant to take it literally. Another word for that is in my Father's abode, or where my Father dwells. That's a better translation. When Jesus is referring to where my Father dwells, remember Jesus was the first person in existence ever to refer to God as Father. So obviously he knew certain things. To refer to God as Father was Jesus showing an aspect of the Godhead that no man had ever encountered. It was God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, El Shaddai, the double-breasted one. But Jesus kept using a phrase that was strange to the Israelites, to the Hebrews. They never, ever saw God as Father. But they knew what it meant for an individual to refer to another one as Father. That was one thing the Jews knew that we need to learn to appreciate. Hallelujah. There was something about the concept of fatherhood that the Jews knew that we now need to learn how to appreciate. Because if we don't realize what it means, then we'll not know the import of some of the things that Jesus said, because his audience were primarily Jews. So, for instance, now he says, in my Father's house, and no man ever referred to God as Father until Jesus came. For the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. Hold on to this chapter 14. Look at chapter 1. I need you to get this because it will aid your understanding. If you don't get some of these things, you will pay lip service to your sonship. Lip service doesn't produce any change. Doesn't produce experience. Doesn't manifest power. It is a revelation that manifests power. Okay? Are you in John chapter 1? Okay, look at verse 14. See what it says. And the word was made. Say made. And dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he's seen at the incarnation of God through man, which is the first revelation of Jesus, when he was physically in human form upon the earth. The Bible says we beheld his glory. So there was a dimension of glory. There was something they saw about him that was different from the average man. We beheld his glory, the glory that the only begotten Son of God can have, or someone that only God gave birth to can have. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of what? Grace, which is what? Truth. John bear witness of him and Christ, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So notice what John is saying. We know that Jesus was a cousin to John, that John was 6 months older than Jesus. So whatever John is saying, and when he says he was preferred, he was before, he wasn't talking about the natural lineage. He was talking about the fact that in the natural, I am older, he's my cousin, but his true identity, he pre-existed me. In fact, he sent me. So what I'm saying is that even inside every line of scripture, if you read it on the surface, you won't catch or glimpse what he's trying to say. You just read it in English, and the Bible is not English. Oh my goodness. The Bible is not English. It is anything but English. It's not English at all. It is the testimony of God. Spirit inspired, spirit written. So can only be spirit interpreted. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, see, he says, John bear witness of him, and Christ saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after is preferred before, or he existed before, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So for him to compare Jesus to Moses, he's trying to tell you something, that what the Moses usher in a dispensation, what did Jesus bring a dispensation? Did you get that? He didn't just compare Moses to Jesus casually. He's trying to tell you that what did Moses bring a dispensation? It was a foreshadow of what God would do, a type. Hallelujah. And maybe one of these days we'll go through some of those experiences, because there were things in the Old Testament that if you don't know why they did it, it's the reason why people have an ambiguous understanding of God. You know, have you ever read of in the scriptures about the country called Ai, the king of Ai? How many of you? And so you say, put a sword in the neck of the king of Ai. And then when they entered the promised land, they kept slaying. The promised land is a type of your new creation experience, which means, though you are a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror, and you have authority in Christ, but there are nations, listen carefully, and there are things to fight against. In the Old Testament, those things were typified as people. So the king of Ai in the New Testament are strongholds. They took a physical sword to the neck of the king of Ai. You take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to the neck of the king of Ai, or the stronghold in your mind that is standing between you and the enjoyment of your inheritance. Can you see the difference? So the reason why there was so much killing on the other side is because even though you have been delivered, there are strongholds. There is knowledge that's trying to exalt itself against knowledge of God. So those are types and shadows. The Red Sea is a type of the new birth. Jordan is not the new birth. Jordan is a type of renewing your mind. Can you see there's a difference? There is a difference. I think we should do types and shadows so that you see that these things have a reason. They're not just, because if you do a literal interpretation, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have issues because they are meant to signify or typify certain things. So, see what it says now. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus. Now, look at the next verse, which we're going. No man, say no man, has seen God at any time. He uses two terminologies in one verse. You need to get the difference. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. Did you see that? Let me ask a question. If you hear Son, what comes to your mind? Relationship. What else comes to your mind? Can you have a son without a parent? So no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has what? Declared him. Or the only one who has a relationship with God as Father. Hallelujah. Let me put it this way. It is only the Son that can reveal God as Father. For without the Son, there is no Father. Do you get it? Only the Son can reveal God as Father. For prior to the Son, all that existed was God. But through the Son, the revelation of Father now comes to us. So why was Jesus getting results in prayer? He knew Father. Let me ask you a question. It's important that you get this also. I want you to get this, because this is a bit different from what I plan to teach, but let's just go along this line as the Spirit of God leads us. Do you notice Jesus never once prayed a prayer and say, covenant keeping God, answer me now? Do you notice that Jesus never prayed that prayer? Now, if Jesus never prayed that prayer and he saw God as Father, and every prayer was Father, in fact, he taught the disciples, why do you think he was teaching them? It was contrary to everything Moses taught. When you want to pray, say our Father. What was it saying? You need, if you want to get results and always be sure of getting results, relate to him as Father, as God. He's still faithful, but you are not. Listen carefully. As God means, you are putting your faithfulness on the line. As Father, his own faithfulness is on the line. I need you to really get this. As my own young, my son was, his own body was yesterday. He's pursuing me. So, now, when he relates to me as dad, not as Mr. Oyekon. Mr. Oyekon is, he will have to behave well for Mr. Oyekon to perform. But with me as dad, that means I fathered him. He had nothing to do with it. Fathering him simply means that everything I own belongs to him by reason of birth. So it's my faithfulness that's on the line. Hallelujah. No man has seen God at any time. The question is this: who did Abraham see? Who did Moses see? Because no man has seen God simply means the only way God can be fully understood is as Father. So no wonder people wrote in the Old Testament, he kills and make alive. It's because they are trying to see God. And their perception was wrong because they missed it. He kills and he makes alive. They're trying to, but Father will never kill. Are you me tonight? No man has seen God anywhere, but the only begotten Son, who dwells in the bosom of who? Who dwells in the bosom of who? As what? Did he reveal me as God? No, as Father. So, if you understand what I just said now, John chapter 14 will now make sense. Look at John chapter 14 now. Glory to God. He's still in the name we're studying, in case you're wondering. Are we still on the name? Oh, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. What a joy. All right. So, in my Father's house. So, the minute your mind is on, is it duplex, castle, or mansion? You have lost. You have lost Jesus. You're no longer on the same thought line. Because the first thing he said was this: let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in. So whatever Jesus is about to say is a heart transaction. Let me say that again. Where do you believe? In your heart. Isn't it? Follow the thoughts. Believe, you believe in God, believe also in me. What do you believe in? God. Believe also in who is me? Who is Jesus? Son. So if you believe in Jesus, who do you believe in? Father. Are you with me now? So in my Father's house, it means in God's house. He just switched. But if you don't know where the switch is, you won't know what he's talking about. In my Father's house, there are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. Or I go to create the same relationship, the same standing for you. Now, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again. What does it mean for him to come again? Remember what we defined in this series. To go means to do what? To pay the penalty for our sin, to make the new birth available, or the indwelling of the Spirit. This was what John chapter 7 was referring to when Jesus said, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus cried with loud voice, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For as it is written, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. But the Bible says, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed him should receive, futuristic tense. This spake he of the Spirit. So he was saying it in their time frame, but it wasn't available in their time frame. So again, he spoke about an event that would happen, so that when it happens, they will remember the scripture. Are you getting it? So they were thinking Jesus spoke about that when those things happen, they had scripture to stand on to explain the experience. This spake of the Spirit, which those they which believe on him should receive, not as received. For the Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So the glorification of Jesus, which is his exhortation, and the giving of the Spirit are one and the same. Are we together? So in my Father's house, now go back to that John chapter 14, verse 2. There are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. That's the cross, by the way of the cross. I'll pay the penalty. Because to prepare a place for you is Jesus' way of saying, you see, to prepare a place for you means to bring you into relationship. What will it cost to bring you into relationship? Your sins will need to be purged. Your nature, we need to be changed. For that to happen, there has to be a captain or a champion of your salvation. Somebody who will pay the price as you. So that when he rises, he will rise as you or with you. You rise together with him. That's what he was saying. I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. So if I go to prepare a place, see what it says in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Who first gets there? You or him? Him. What does he do when he comes back? He receives you. So in the light of what we just read, what does it mean to receive you? Hallelujah. What does it mean to receive you? What does it mean to receive you? Bible students. See, again, start thinking. Have the an instant mentality or scriptural mindset. What does that mean? To receive you, said, I go to prepare a place. So that where I am, you may be there also. And when I come, I will receive you to myself. What did he say he was going to do? To prepare a place. According to what we just read, what is that place? Relationship. That as I am a son, where I am, where is he now? The father's right hand. As what? A son. So to receive you means you become what? Salvation. Glory to God. I'm teaching you what has already happened. It is your experience now. This is what took place, how you became saved. Like Jesus explained it in many words. But did they understand when he was saying it? No. They understood after the experience happened. In fact, Jesus told them, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it? In chapter 14, I already told them, even if you don't believe in me, believe me for the very works' sake, that the Father that dwells in me is the one doing the works. He said, therefore, the works that I do shall you do also. Verse 12. And greater works than this shall you do. Why? I go to the Father. Then he started explaining the new creation all the way down. Chapter 15, he started with the tree and its branches, and the vine and the branches. Started explaining. He was still talking about kingdom. Chapter 16. And by verse 12, he's still saying, I have yet many things to say. The question is, Jesus, after everything you have said, you have gone to the cross, you will die. After 3 days, what are the many things that's left? So, let me put it this way. The first phase of many things are the things he told them in the Gospels. The second phase of many things is what is now contained in the epistles. That was what he was saying, I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. How be it when the Spirit of truth is come? He will guide you into what? All truth. Let's read them. See what it says next. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of what? Himself. Whatsoever he shall hear. Now listen carefully now to what I'm about to say. Because again, I'm teaching now basics of identification. Look at what Jesus said. He shall not speak of himself. But he will speak, isn't it? He will speak, isn't it? But he will not speak of himself. Listen carefully. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Next verse. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine. And shall show it unto you. Next verse. All things that the Father has are... Again, read this in context. Where, in which context is Jesus talking? I have many things to say. You can't bear them now. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, if you take that phrase out of it, you will not understand what Jesus is saying. Because he's speaking, well, King James translates as English what is meant to be a future experience. Should I take that again? Let me explain. When he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you. What is, if you use that phrase, he will guide you. Is that present, past, or future? Future. So, when he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Spirit of truth coming is speaking of a definite experience. Yes or no? So, whatever is going to say now can't be something that will happen now. It's something that will happen then, after he has come. But we know that when the Spirit of truth is come, it's also a confirmation that Jesus has been glorified. So, whatever the Spirit of truth will say once he comes has to do with Jesus' glorification. Now, here is the part we often miss out. His glorification is your glorification. I'm going somewhere tonight. His glorification is our glorification. That was why he was saying, in their present unredeemed state, there was no way their minds could capture the level of glory Jesus was about to say. So he says, when the Spirit of truth is come, when he comes, is another way of saying, when you are reborn, when you share the same nature, when you are now in the Father's house. Are you with me tonight? When you are now in the Father's house, the Spirit of truth, what he will be sharing with you, which Jesus now says, he will take of what is mine. Jesus now saying, what is actually mine is also yours. Glory to God. It's also yours. It means, when it's, you see, yes, if you read when Jesus is saying it, what Jesus is sharing doesn't belong to them. Belongs to Jesus. But what Jesus is saying, that the way I will have received the inheritance, I didn't receive it for myself. I received it on your behalf. And if I did, whatever the Spirit of God will say to you or reveal to you has to do with where I am, which is where you will be. Remember, he said that, so that where I am, you may be there also. Which means the way I am with the Father is the way you will be with the Father. So whatever I have is what you also have. So let me put it another way. What will the Spirit of God now reveal? He shall take of what is mine and show it unto you. When Jesus says, what is mine in that phrase is a reference to what is also yours. Hallelujah. When you're reading, you don't separate yourself. You are one spirit with him. Glory to God. So all things that the Father has are mine. What does this verse of scripture remind you of? The Bible says, being made so much better, Hebrews 1:4 that we've been reading this pastor, than the angels, having obtained a more excellent name than they, as he has by inheritance obtained a more what? Excellent name. All things that the Father has are mine. Is that right? Another word for it is what? Inheritance. As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Being made so much better simply means he occupies a higher position, a greater authority, a better standing than any angel ever had. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. But he said to the son, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. But what he said to the son, listen carefully, he said to sons. Let me put it this way. The statement that God made to Jesus was reserved for only those who are sons. So he's not the only son, he's the model son. Hallelujah. Do you understand? He's the model son. Model son simply means the one who represented us when those words were uttered. When they were being spoken to him, he was being spoken to us. So God actually said, gift, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And God will also say to you, having by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. What's that name? It's the same name that Jesus has. It's your name also. How did you get it? By inheritance. He didn't say by working for it. You also obtained a more excellent name. How do you get inheritance? By resurrection from the dead. So the Bible could now tell us, we were quickened together. Ah, glory to God. I like saying this way. You know, it matters who you are together with. We were once together with the first Adam. The disciples were together with the second Adam. We are together with the last Adam. The same person, different offices. There's a first Adam, the Adam of the garden. There's a second Adam when he incarnated and was born as the son of Mary, okay, as the seed of David, a nation of Israel. It was the second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 presents him in a new status when he rose. He wasn't the second Adam again. It was the second Adam. The second Adam is called Jesus Christ, the anointed one. I explained it last week. He's one who carries the anointing. He's the one that John revealed when he was baptizing. John spoke to the audience that was with him. When they asked him, who do you make yourself to be? Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? He said, I'm not you. But I should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. So John just told us that my entire ministry of water baptism is to reveal him. For the one who called and sent me told me that one day will come as I'm baptizing. Among those whom I'm baptizing, I will see one that stands out. How will it stand that everyone goes into the water and when they come out, it's baptism of repentance. When this one is coming out, the spirit will descend and remain. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. John said, and I bore witness that this is the Son of God. Glory to God. Second Adam. While he was upon the earth, that 3.5 years of ministry, he functioned as a second Adam. The lamb that takes away the sin of the world. When he resurrected, a new office, the last Adam. Glory to God. This is not semantic, so it means plenty spiritually. It means plenty. There is Senator Barack Obama. Then there is President Barack Obama. They are not the same. One person, different offices. The office is so different that the way it's approached in the society and in the world at large is different. The way it's treated. As a senator, he has diplomatic ministry to countries. As president, he's a living, breathing institution. With all the powers of a nation behind him. An attack on him, you attack a whole nation. In fact, not just one nation, many nations who are allies of America. You just attack the free world. And if you attack the free world, you are no longer free. I just need you to understand what it means. So when he was senator, that was an office. When he became president, that's the higher office. What he controls and he handles and is subject to him is different when he became president. Hallelujah. Can you see the difference? Two, there's a huge difference. So Jesus Christ, the anointed, who received the anointing when he came out of the water, when he was baptized by John, is different from the Jesus of the epistles. In the Gospels, is Jesus the anointed. In the epistles, is Jesus the exalted one. There's a difference. I want you to notice these phrases I'm using. They will help you in the place of prayer. So that when you say, in the name of Jesus, with the understanding of what that means, you are saying, in the authority that brooks no interference. You are saying, in the authority that cannot be resisted or refused. That's what you are saying. It's heavy. If the Father's thoughts about that name plays out in your heart, you will lose sleep for a good reason. You'll be too excited to lie down. You'll be looking for the blind and the alt and the lame. You've just found out the name, the reason why the alt or the lame should walk, why the blind should see, why new highball should be created where it wasn't before. Hallelujah. That's what it means. You just discovered why anybody who happens to be blind should give birth. And you save me so much conviction because you know it's an authority that can't be resisted. Hallelujah. And what it means? Because that name is a realm of authority. It's not just a name, it's a realm of authority. So when we are studying what's at the back of the name, we're going through that every word of Jesus meant to reveal something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's a name that belongs to us. All that the Father has is mine. It wasn't yet ease when he was saying it. He was speaking from the angle of that when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you. He will guide you means that certain things will happen when he comes, or certain things will happen to make him come. When those things have happened, all that the Father has will be mine. And when it's mine, he will take of what is now mine and do what? Reveal to you. Why is he revealing? What is mine is also yours now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What is mine is also yours now. That's why we are in Christed. We can never be without him. We are in him, he's in us. And we are both together in the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's so important. So, when they name him Jesus again, remember, now Acts 10. I want to show you something that happened. Acts 10, verse 34. Acts 10 verse 34. If I don't move from here, we will not leave John chapter 14. I've not even got it to where we're going to John chapter 14. So let's just quickly run to Acts chapter 10. Look at Peter's sermon. And let's see one or two things that Peter said. I'm going to run. Then Peter opened his mouth, verse 34, and said, of a truth, I presume that God is a respectable person. This is Peter in the house of Cornelius, okay? Preaching. Says the word which God sent on the children of Israel. Notice that the word which God sent preaching peace by Jesus Christ is Lord of us, who is speaking about Jesus as the second Adam or in his earthly walk. This is Jesus of the four gospels that he's about to preach. But I want you to see when Peter shifted. If you don't get the shift, you will not be able to decode the scriptures. Peter first spoke of him as the second Adam or as Jesus the anointed one. Then so many sermons Peter shifted. Why did Peter shift? What was Peter's calling? To be an eyewitness of the resurrection. And when you had the word resurrection, you just changed his name from the anointed to the exalted. If you are with me, let me see that. If you got it. Good stuff. All right. See what it says now. It says, verse 37, the word which God sent unto children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. How did God preach peace by Jesus Christ? When he was on his one earthly walk upon the earth, the 3.5 years of ministry. Okay, so he's speaking about Jesus in the flesh, Jesus in the body. He stood in the office of the anointed. Okay, Jesus Christ, that one I say, you know, which was probably throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John. So he had a genesis. What genesis? What happened after the baptism of John to Jesus? What happened after the baptism of John to Jesus? He was anointed now. The Spirit descended and what remained? He was anointed. So after the baptism of John, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of what? Nazareth. So how did he become Jesus Christ? By this anointing. No, he didn't say how God anointed Jesus Christ. No, that's tautology. It is anointing that made him Christ. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with. God was with. Look at next one. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on the tree. So Peter is giving us a narrative of Jesus' earthly walk, earthly ministry. The first phase, when he was strictly savior to the nation of Israel. Okay? Then he hung on the tree. Him God raised up on the third day. Narrative is changing. Narrative is changing. Circumference of operation is changing. Realm of authority is about to what? Change. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witness chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose. After he rose. You see that? And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall what? Receive what? The remission of sins. Now, here is good. Did you see when Peter switched the earthly ministry of Jesus, what he accomplished, Jesus the Christ, then suddenly spoke about we are witnesses of his resurrection, we sat, we heard, not only that we were commissioned to preach, that whosoever believed, he just spoke about him being available as Savior. So he shifted from Jesus the anointed to Jesus the exalted one. Can you see that? And while he got to that point, the Holy Ghost fell. Did you see the difference? Why did the Holy Ghost fall? Remember what we said about Jesus. What did John say about Jesus again? John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 29. You must know the scriptures by heart. I'm going to pray some of you become missionaries. Switzerland. Sri Lanka. Jakarta. You must teach the word on undiluted. John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day John did one. Said him coming unto him and said, behold what? That taketh away the next verse. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Next verse. And I knew him not, but I should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Next verse. And John bear record as saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he abode upon him. Next verse. And I knew him not, but he that sent me baptized with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and meaning, on him, the same is he which does what? Which does what? So, once you see him, he is the one that baptizes. As the second Adam, he was the anointed. He will not become the one who, so he is the one who is now being anointed. But when he rose from the dead, he became the one who anoints. You see the difference? So, Paul John said, this is the one who baptizes. He didn't stand in that office until he was exalted. So when Peter, from his narrative of Jesus the Christ, the minute he started talking about the resurrection and that Jesus was exalted, what happened? The one who baptized with the Holy Ghost baptized them. Do you understand? That means he was using the name of Jesus in a different level of authority. How had Peter used that name before when Jesus was upon the earth? Jesus told them, in my name. He had told them, he delegated authority to them. Luke chapter 9. Quickly, Luke chapter 9. You must get it. Luke chapter 9 from verse 1. Luke chapter 9 verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them one power and one authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Next verse. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Next verse. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. That's figurative speech. Oh. He didn't say don't have coat. Oh. He didn't say don't have coat. Oh. He said don't have two coats. If you like, don't have two coats. The one that you are first wearing, by the time it tears, you will know that you have to have two coats. It's figurative speech, but don't be too concerned about getting my... That's... You know, there's the day Jesus was saying, salute no man on the way. How many minutes is that? You know what salute no man means? You know, if you don't greet people, you know you are rude. So he's not saying don't greet people. He's saying don't lobby around anybody's resources enough to be distracted. I hope you know his figurative speech. Because if you don't greet, like Jesus told us not to greet. No. They won't, they may not even receive your gospel since you are not even greeting. No, salute no man means don't lobby around people long enough to be distracted. So he now says, look at next verse, verse 4. Whatsoever else you enter into, they abide and thence depart. Next verse. And whatsoever will not receive you when you go out to go, next verse, please. They went to preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Next verse. Okay. Jump to chapter 10. Luke's gospel, chapter 10. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Yes, I want to say, yeah, let's look at verse 8. It's the same account, but there's more explanation in verse chapter 10. Chapter 10, look at verse 8. And into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you, eat such things as are said before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say, did you notice it didn't say pray for the sick, said heal them. This is delegated authority. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come where? Nigh unto you. So, this is what happened before Jesus went to the cross, before he resurrected. What was the message? The kingdom of God is near. What is the message now? The kingdom has come. It was there simply means all the signs you are seeing is a sign that very soon the kingdom will come. Now that he is risen, what's the message? The kingdom has come. What's that kingdom? You have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? Okay, so the message has changed. Because we're not looking for God's kingdom. We are in the kingdom. And the kingdom is in us. But they were not in the kingdom then. How were they doing it? They were doing it in his name. His name simply means they didn't have the standing themselves. They didn't have the ability in themselves. They didn't have the right standing themselves. But he gave them the one he had as delegated authority. In the New Testament, in the epistles, we now discover something very unique, something strange. What is the switch between what they used and what we are called to use? Because they were using the name of Jesus and their message was the kingdom of God is nigh. But in the epistles, when we go to preach, our message is not the kingdom of God is nigh. It is that it has come. Why? Because the name now means something different. Then we are not acting on delegated authority. Another word for delegated authority is power of attorney. You don't have the standing, you don't have the power, you don't have the right, but I gave you mine, or I borrowed you mine. But in the New Testament, in the day we're in, the name of Jesus is not borrowed. It's family, it's ownership. It belongs to us. It's the name of the new creation. It wasn't given to one man, it was given to all men that come from the same womb. That's what the name now means. Hallelujah. Because that name is the name of someone who has accomplished the champion of our salvation. He has already accomplished certain things. So When you procrastinate sukobrata, let you groan, dakite ista, likograto, purusta kasia, with the boldness that comes from the light of the truth, comes an understanding that sickness and disease, enemies of the cross, on the other side of the cross, where the victor rose triumphant over everything that was an adversary and opposed mankind, the new humanity in Christ arose triumphant, and at that name they disintegrate. They become as nothing. An opposition flees before his face, and fear is no more. You are triumphant in the name. Hallelujah. Pogratile etukosaka, ekrito sukata, elia nobo rupatika latie, yeshtubroka batike istakasa. And so when the twin force of the enemy, terror and fear, crowd your mind, saying that which you are looking forward to, that which you are expecting, will not be so, terrorize the terrorist with the name. Use the name and run him out of town. Use the name and silence every descending voice. Use the name and rob fear of his ability. Use the name and let joy come. Confront every opposition. Use the name and surmount every obstacle. Use the name and win convincingly. Use the name and secure results as it is in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We use the name and we flog the adversary. We use the name and we run him out of the country. We use the name and we disappoint his vice of the crafty. We use the name and we secure our victory in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is in that name. Oh, word of God. So the name was given here in the limited capacity of power of attorney. And they were rejoicing because they were getting results. So when Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. That's where the switch is. That's the difference. I go to the Father. It's another way of saying something will have changed. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to a real place. It means the place is prepared. It means you are now where I am. It means where I sit is where you sit. Where I stand is where you stand. The name I bear is the name you bear also. Glory to God. That's what it means. That's the implication of that name. I want to show you something. Matthew 28. Glory, 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 glory. Matthew 28. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That is a statement he had never made before. He had never said it. He had never made it. Because notice it, in heaven and on earth. On the earth, the limited scope of his authority and operation was within the coasts of Israel. As a shepherd of Israel. As the one sent to lead them back to God. But something had happened about the scope of authority. He said, all power, listen carefully now, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, listen carefully, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Notice that we know, what's the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? What's the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Now, see what he said. Notice the way he said it and the way he spoke to them in Luke. Here he didn't say, when you go, use my name and I will do it. No. He says, now that all power is given me. Listen carefully. He means all power is given you. Listen. Let me give you an illustration so you understand it. Is it not an amazing thing that after Jesus said all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, the next thing he did was to ascend and he went to go and sit down? Think about it. That's what he did. All power is given. You have thought after all power is given, next thing is Where is that Pontius Pilate? Where is he? What about that Herod that killed John? Where is he? Who is the person that even sent to kill John? Where is he? Judas and God, he's dead. Why did he die? Where are the soldiers that were flogging me? As I'm looking at you, just be stuck. You'll be stuck. You are better to Pontius Pilate. Pontius. 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 How many times did I call you? Are your hands now clean? Be washing it from now. You'll be washing. May they never be clean again. Jesus is not like us. You'll be washing. Imagine. And looking for that particular soldier that was very zealous in beating him. What's your name? You and your descendants. In this Israel. Your name is removed. He said, all authority. Then he did something strange. He ascended. Ha. How are we going to exercise the all authority and all power? If it's ascending, doesn't mean it is in us. You know what it means to ascend? Let me put it this way. God is the best judge of character, situation, and humanity, which is his report, is the final report. So if he ascends to sit, it means that he's sitting, he's even going, it's because he's sure of what all authority and power means now in the new creation. He said, go, try and persuade them. No, go teach your nations. Baptize them. Baptize them means get them saved. Baptize is not water. I can prove to you it's not water. The word baptize means immerse. Baptize them in the name is baptize in the name of Jesus. That means immerse them, which is get them saved. Do you understand? Do you get that? Okay, so baptize, that's what baptize means. So that's why, you know, we are wonderful people. That's why we got this. You put them in water in the name of the Father. And he's not saved though. So he went in a dry sinner. He came out a wet sinner. They see the sinner. Nothing has happened. And a name was given. Not physically changing, but to spiritually changing. But it wasn't used. Because he has not confessed Jesus' lordship. So the baptized means let the person receive salvation. That's what it means. Let them be immersed into the body of Christ. But he said, go and teach. Which is, everywhere you go, there is no authority that can confront you any longer. Because all power in heaven and on earth. What if you get to, I said all power. As in all power. There is this stronger balance need. I said all power. All power means all, less none. Hallelujah. If you understand what all power means, even if they are chanting around you, you just start dancing, just start laughing. Because you are a terror to the works of darkness. In the name of Jesus. If they can't confront you, they can't confront you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, thanks be unto God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. Who always causes us to triumph. Always, not sometimes. And make it manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every, the rich fragrance of his victory. He has been made manifest through us. And I say, go therefore. You know, go means that the boundaries of the places you can reach is governed by the limits of my authority. And I'm telling you, go, because my authority is limitless. So go ye therefore means that in as much as my authority can be resisted, you are free to go. Go therefore. Go in the consciousness. All power in heaven and on heart has been given to me. Go therefore. Hallelujah. Or for this very reason, do what? To go. What kind of power? Power to reverse death. Oh, if you understand, nothing dies in your hand again. You command death to lose its grip. Because you know all power in heaven and what? On heart. That's why Paul, by the Spirit of God, is leading us in prayer. In that Ephesians 1, verse 17. At the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give unto you the spirit of wisdom, which is revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance that he has stored inside the saints. You know, it's amazing. God stores inheritance inside the saints. By reason of our union with Christ, the inheritance is stored within our spirits. and our spirits are in union with him. And the exceeding greatness of the power. So what he's saying is this: the same power that was exercised in raising Jesus is the power that made you and I a new creation. And it's greater than the power that God used to create the heavens and the earth. Greater. Greater. And that's the power that made you a new creation. That's the power that is domiciled within you now. Somebody says, Pastor, do I really need that power? That's why we learn about it. Because the name is the key to the power. If that power is not present, then God named you wrongly, but he didn't. The name is meant to call your attention to the power that God doesn't misname things. When he says you are a new creation, brother and sister, my goodness, you are new. My goodness, you are beautiful. My goodness, there's nothing like you upon the earth or in existence. Because God can't lie. It is like God to finish the work and come back and inform you. This is how things stand now. This is who you are now. This is what has been accomplished. This is what you can do now. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 23. Glory, glory, glory. What I'm about to read to you is the reason why we don't pray against our enemies. Do we sometimes have people that oppose us? Yes, but they are not our enemies. Can men oppose you? Yes, but they are not your enemies. Let God be true and every man a liar. We allow the scriptures to define what enemies or who enemies are. The enemies of man are not natural. So when you face a man, you're already under deception. That is that man in our company, I'm telling you. The incense he uses at the back of my room. Every time he does this, I lose my job. You are falling for the trap. He's not the enemy. Verse 23. But every man after his own order. Christ the first fruits, after all that Christ is coming. Next verse. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all and all authority and power. Next verse. For he must reign. Say he must reign. Till he has put all his enemies under his feet. Did you see that? Under his what? Feet. He must reign. He must reign. If you speak about reigning, there must be a kingdom. If you speak about a kingdom, a kingdom is not something that's necessarily physical. It simply speaks about a realm of authority or a realm of dominion. The word kingdom is a concatenation of two words, king and domain. So if there's a kingdom, it means a domain or a realm of dominion. That's what it means. So he must reign simply now means that now that there's a kingdom, within a kingdom, you exercise authority. When you exercise authority, it's called reigning. But here is the funny thing that Jesus did. He got all power, he got all authority, then he rose. He ascended and sat. That's the thing. But Jesus, what are you going to do with power and authority? He must reign. The challenge we now have is how will he reign? Since he has gone back to sit. And where he's seated, there are no enemies there. Are you with me tonight? There are no enemies there where he's seated. But he must reign till he has put one. All enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is. So, whatever else is an enemy is a cousin of death. A nephew and niece of death. Because death is not. Oh, you have a neighbor called death? We need to visit your house. No, no. If death is an enemy, all the other enemies are not what? The last enemy. So, there were other enemies. The first enemy was sin, then condemnation. Then fear. Are you with me tonight? They have been dealt with. But the last one, spiritual death and physical death. The last enemy that shall be won, destroyed, is won. The word destroyed is not annihilate. It means render powerless. Next verse. I will expand on this maybe much more interesting. For he has put all things under his feet. No, let me, if I step into this one, we won't leave tonight. We're supposed to start praying now. So let me step back a little bit. Then we'll continue from there. But here's what I want to say. He must reign. He must reign. Until he has put all enemies under his feet. When you hear the word feet, does your head bear a different name from your arms? Do you hear what I said? Where do you find feet in the body, isn't it? So if you have a head, there is a body. If you have feet, there must be a body. Who is Christ? The head, isn't it? Ephesians 1:20, quickly. It's a seminar, so that means that's why you are reading your Bible. Pastor, Ephesians 1:20. See what it says, 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. The workplace is at the side, so it's in heavenlies. Next verse. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Next verse. And has put all things, say all things, under his, and gave him to be the, over all things to the, is the church. Seems strictly a physical body or a spiritual body? Spiritual body. Who are members of the church? You and I, or the body of Christ upon the earth. Notice where he put it. He gave him to be the head of all things to the church, but he put all things under his feet, and he must reign until he put all enemies under his feet. So if the feet is part of the body, who is going to exercise the reigning ability? You and I. So even he's sitting for you. Why is he sitting? So that you can reign. Hallelujah. You can exercise what? Dominion. What has he received? All power and authority. When he received it, who received it? You also received it. Where is he seated? Where are you spiritually seated? Physically, where are you? Here. What do you do for your seated position? You reign. Hallelujah. You exercise what? Authority. How? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That means you must never see yourself outside of the name. It's not just your inheritance. It's the name by which you are called. It means for the Father, you and Jesus are one. Whatever authority he has, you have. Whatever dominion he has, you have. In fact, he says you, he must reign till he has put all enemies. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. But he has put all things under his feet. Who is his feet? You and I. He put all things under us. Or we exercise authority in his name. Hallelujah. Why am I teaching all this? So that when you use the name next time, there's a weight of glory. There's an understanding at the back of your utterance. You know, when you say in the name of Jesus, there's nothing light or casual or frivolous about it. There's a weight about it. There's a confidence. There's a consciousness. There is an approval that brooks no denial about it. That's what it means when you use that name. Hallelujah. You dance in the name. You shout in the name. You are sure of the outcome in the name. You enforce the word of God in the name. You ensure no will ever come to you in the name. Because you have the right to do that in the name. Don't listen to people say Jesus seven times. It's not seven times. It's not, you say, seven is not more perfection. That's religion. You know, a man of God, car was about to have an accident, and there were two of them in three of them in the car, the driver, the man and his wife. Not Jesus, 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 my husband said that one Jesus is enough for this. He doesn't work by calling several times. He's only one Jesus is enough. What's the difference between two of them? Understanding. Understanding. You know, you realize that in that name, Hebrews 1 that we just read says that, and let all the angels of God worship him. That said, in the name of Jesus, in a situation that could be accidental, I just activated angels. I don't know if you get it. You know, you are thinking angels will not be activated until I say, angels of God, now come and be going. May God help our English in Nigeria. Come and be going. Facebook. After they've said something, nothing, I say, let me come and be going to my house. Where were you before? Now, here's what I'm saying. You are waiting to list out or say verbatim, angels of God, and it's fine. But somebody else who is about to use the name is conscious. And the Bible says, and let all the, after he was given that name, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, when I say in the name, I just activated the angelic assignments. I cannot have an accident. 1,000 shall fall by my side. 10,000 by my right hand. But they won't come near me. Only with my eyes will I see and behold the world. For he has given his angels charge over me. I just said all that in the name of Jesus. I just said all that. Psalm 91 just came into effect. For all the promises of God, they are yes and they are amen. Glory to God. They are a reality now. Hallelujah. I'm not hoping it will happen. I know it has happened. And I use the name to enforce what has happened. Stand to your feet tonight. And pray in the spirit. Toes like never before. To every man and every woman, the grace of God flows like never before. The grace of God finds full expression. Glad tidings upon every lips. The zeal of God takes over men and women. Ele brokatati ete sikabako. Ele katie de shepra kota. There's a diligence about the things of the spirit. There's a readiness to serve. Ele broko a yieldedness to the glory. Ele katobori ete bratakastike sita. Esto broko tande. Things take on a new definition, a strong stand. Ele pogratakastike sito kore. Ele gate. Ele bruta da shibra gatomo for the things of the spirit. Ala buketika tasiteya estombo katanga tike site gata. Men arise with strong conviction upon the truth and they act out and play out and fulfill the counsel of the Father. Ele bropa katomi sabra gata. Oh brakatia, new assignments given, new palagrestike sike lands and territories covered and conquered, new sharings. Oh, release of fresh deposits. Ele brokataye, ele lele kita tashata brotishtaka. Oh, bakatia. 2018, a year of turnarounds. Turnarounds. Ala brakota. Ele brakota. Yeah, the shatter. Men are rising. Ala kop as though from the dead. With a new life, with a new strength, with a new glory, with a new grace, with a divine boldness. Ele brokataye te shubrokosta gata. No fear, no fear, no fear. Ele brotanke sita. Ele dubro gota gastike shite. Esubronga, 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 esubronga bakatose. Este brekatu bodiste. Ele sumo, ele brikatanti shege bragato. Oh, bragatike sita. Esubro gota galati. Elu brudo gatanki seke se brekasto. Oh, na bragatike sike tilege ke shebrekosto godia. There's a debt. There's a debt of many things that don't prosper. 2018, there's a debt of many things that are not of the Father, a death of everything that are not of Christ, but a resurrection, a rising to the fall, a coming to the surface of all that speaks of the goodness. Ele brako parieta kasita gashte. Oh ba etene mosta brakato. Oh bakie ele broko tate. Eso broko tagalakia tanche. Ele ne 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 katu potia. Estu kobo. Ane brokota, ele brokosta kabrakatoko. Oh makati, ele brakota nikesha. All the language is no longer a barrier. All the language is no longer a barrier. But the grace of God flows forth, and the message is heard, and the message is preached. Ele kambrokota, no barrier of language any longer. Ele grakostoko, no limitation of provision any longer. Oh kaprosta kike siteba, o stuploti, o pralite, ele listo brako, ele Bricato, Yele Bracati Shende Brokotakite, Esu Broguto, Ele Bracatoniata Shate, Este Gumo Capo di Legatati, Elende Capo Tie, Yeshe Brokuta, and Mipre Kutana Gatike Site, Ele Lele Lele Capotasia, Esu Brotiana Maste, El No Samba, El Ekiato, Le Brotakite Shite, El Shibro, El Shibro, El Shibro, El Shibro, Bacatele Gastike Site, Adipongra. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Kemi. Kemi. Come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Torrential waters of the Spirit, signifying God's grace, signifying a newness, signifying a freshness, signifying a new dawn, signifying a new beginning. Those things begin to take place in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's be start following. Yeah. I see you walk through. I see applause of men on every side. I see men stand to applaud the glory, the placement, the promotion. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Sir, I see you a new portion of land to till. But the tilling is just perfunctionary. For the land is already yielding. It's a new portion. It's a different land. It's a different allocation. It's a different allocation. Allocations from the Father. Of a land already prospering. Already increasing. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Father. There will be strange outworkings of the Spirit of God in two major areas as this year comes to an end and in the coming year. The first one will be in supernatural deliverance from harm. The testimonies will be shocking to the senses and will lead many to salvation. Life of the saints. This will be a very bad time for those not established in the local assembly. For some things will happen and some will say, wasn't he a Christian? He was. But he didn't stay in the fold. He didn't stay where there is protection. He didn't say stay where there's covering. And the second operation will be men singing from unknown backgrounds, no association, no prior relationship. They will just arise and offer help and offer assistance and offer help. They won't know what they are doing or if they've done it. But this is how the fragrance will spread. This is how the fragrance will spread. There will be that strange walking. That strange walking available. They will just arise. As though they cannot sleep until they were assisted and helped. And giving aid. And giving aid. Mark those two major signs. Mark those two major signs. It will begin to work from tonight. Yeah. From tonight. From tonight. From tonight. For we have a name above all names. We have a name above all names. We give him praise. Let's give him praise tonight. And give him thanks. We exalt you. Oh, we exalt you. Our hearts are glad. Our hearts are glad. In you we greatly rejoice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are thankful. We are grateful. We are thankful. We are grateful. We are thankful. Thank you, Father, for your love, your loving kindness, your strange workings, your leadings, your directions. Thank you for revealing to us, unveiling your plan, your purpose. Thank you for receiving men bolder, men stronger, men strengthened by your spirit in their inner man. Thank you, because fear is no more. Fear is no more. That insomnia is gone. That insomnia is gone. Insomnia is inability to sleep when you want to sleep. It has come to an end. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Tonight you will sleep like a baby, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. The enemy no longer harass you in your dreams, for he is rebuked in the name of Jesus. Be at peace, for you shall sleep, and none shall make you afraid. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. We exalt you. Hitherto you walked, and everywhere you turned, everything was dry. Everything was dry. Everything was dry. But there's provision. There's provision. There's provision. There's provision. A provision so large, a provision so great, it will be as though you never knew a dry season. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. All is ours in that name. All is ours in that name. A new song is ours in that name. Our needs are met in that name. Everything is sorted in that name. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Amen.